All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to John chapter 8, if you will. John chapter 8. Pray for Steve Jafrida here. He's still recovering from back surgery. We probably should put him on the prayer bulletin, Miss Janice. And then his mom, Dottie Chenault. And they found a spot in her lung, and they're saying at this point they think it's cancer. And so we want to put her on the prayer list as well. Anyway, anybody need a worksheet, just slip your hand up. Leave it up till they get to you. I started to talk about the blacktop down here. It's all done. They're going to come in, I think, yet this week and put all the striping on there. We can get on it on Sunday, okay? You can get on Sunday. They'll take the cones down on Saturday. We really appreciate if you not use it Friday night. Okay, if you come in from the other side for RRU, that would be good. So just stay off of it for a couple days yet. Really, it's going to be so doggone hot, it's not cooling down very fast, and not even at nighttime. So they would really appreciate if you could stay off of it. Tomorrow they also come in to start the prep to put in the new big AC units on this building. And you say they're working. They ain't working long. We're limping along. And so they come in. They should be in on, they finish it up on Friday. And that'll put two new units up here, and actually a unit over the choir. The choir will enjoy that. It always gets a little extra hot up there. But anyway, so that's, and again, I just appreciate your all's faithfulness that we're able to do such things. John chapter 8. Let me read quickly these few verses, and then we'll get started here. John chapter 8, verse number 12. And of course, Jesus, he's been teaching. They brought the woman caught in adultery to him. And we saw last 2 weeks how he responded to that. It's amazing how people who are sinners themselves will just take somebody, just slice them off at the knees, and just, well, you got this problem. You know, well, I've got sin, but your sin is a big sin. You know, well, all sin is a sin against God. So all sin's a big sin. How dare we sin against a holy God? And so we've got to. There was one other thing I was thinking. I'm sorry. Let me go back. Over here on the new parking lot, there are several new spaces. There's going to be some space on either side of the sidewalks. I would really encourage you if you can walk a little extra. Let those couple spaces on either side of the sidewalks open for those who can't. All right? We can't officially make them handicapped. And the reason you can't is because they got to have a certain grade on them, and our grade's a little bit greater than, and so we could call it a handicap, but if somebody came out and did it and decided they're handicapped, they could fine us even though we didn't have to. You know how government is. So I don't know. I think we might put some signs up that says save for our seniors. Or something, I don't know. But if you don't need to be right next to the sidewalk, you know, kind of measure that out. If you need to be somewhere close, okay, fine. But kind of leave those open for the folks who really need it. All right, I'm going back here. Now, so Jesus has these people come up, and they're accusing this lady of sin, of adultery. I'm not making light of that. That's an issue there. But they weren't sure exactly how he was going to handle it. But we saw some things, and they saw some things that they hadn't seen before, and they never really, you know, never saw the grace and the mercy of God in such a way. So then we get to chapter 8, verse number 12. That has just occurred, and it says this: then, right after he said to the woman, go and sin no more, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. And it's also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? And Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Let's pray, and you'll see where we're going here in a little bit. You can't fight the light. You can't fight the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for taking care of us. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to bring our needs to you a few moments ago. And there's so many across the family here, and some just dragging on, and sometimes we just really wonder what's all going on. But Lord, we know that you're in it all. We know what you know what's going on. Lord, I pray you meet those needs and just give us grace. But for a few moments here this evening, let's allow us to open our heart and let your light shine, that maybe we see the truth in your word. Your Holy Spirit will do a work in each of our hearts as you need to happen. And we ask in Christ's name. Amen. This subsequent discourse we just read is spoken by Jesus with direct connection with the events which had just occurred with the woman caught in adultery and the Pharisees. Now, it wasn't just the woman caught in adultery. It was the communication, it was the interaction between the woman, the Pharisees, and Jesus. The interaction with Jesus concerning this indiscretion of the woman and the steps taken by the leadership shows Jesus for who he is. We see his demeanor. I'm not going to go back through all that. You've been here last few weeks. But how he dealt with this woman, how he did so out of love and care. We see his character. We see his love. Now, Jesus didn't need to prove anything. He only needed to be a light of what truth is. Let me say that again, and let's kind of let it sink in. Jesus didn't need, nor did he try to prove who he was or anything, or, you know, he didn't need to prove anything. He just allowed the light to show who he is and what truth is. Jesus did not debate with the Pharisees. By the way, the winner of debates like that is usually pretty debatable. You get all done. I think I won. We got a debate tonight, by the way. A big debate. I don't know. I want to get home and catch some of it just for the amusement. But just kind of see what's going on. But you can stand there and debate and vain jangling and, you know, doubtful disputations and go over and over and over again. You know, I was talking to my brother Ben Berger last night. We were talking about some times when if we're not careful, you know, churches will all stand up and you'll have people who will say, "Well, this is what we need to do," and yet no one has consulted the Bible yet. I mean, that's truth. Let's find out what it says. Done deal. Why stand here and debate about it? Why make each other mad and angry? Why poke at each other? Let's just find out what truth is. Do it and be done. So we can speak of our own goodness and our own righteousness, but fact is, reality is proven simply by our lives. Our lives prove what we are. And by the way, most times it proves that we may be trying, but we're sinners. Let me give you number one, real quick here. Number one, the light of Jesus had been revealed. The light of Jesus had been revealed. Verse number 12, John 8:12 says, Then spake Jesus again unto them. And that word then is an interesting word. It means in connection to, with what has been just transpired. And so there's a direct connection. So this didn't come out of nowhere. I mean, some people they think when they put the Bible together, they just found these little stories and they just dumped one in after the other, and oh, they'll put that in there. No, God wrote this book. He put the stories where they're supposed to be, and there's a direct connection here. So they just had this event. He had shown up at the temple. He has sat down. He's teaching the people from the Word of God, and in the midst of it all, the Pharisees dragged this poor woman in here and put her right in the middle of the whole crowd and said she was caught in adultery, the very act. Of course, we know that the first question always is, well, then, where's the man? Probably one of them. But the very act. Now, the law of Moses says she should be stoned. But what sayest thou, Jesus? Well, he just bends down and writes in the sand. And they just keep at, what do you say? What do you say? What do you say? What do you think we'll be doing? What do we say? What should we say? And he says, well, all right. He that is without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. He bent down, he started writing again. And of course, there's always debate about what he was writing. He might have been right. I think Oliver Bree Green's got a good thought. He says he was writing names. You know, kind of like you know, you go past a tree in the park, and it says LB loves JW or whatever it is, you know, all this stuff, you know. And I think he might have been writing names of some of the Pharisees and the women that they had affairs with. There was another scripture I talked about that he could have been writing out. All I know is they're sitting there watching him, and so after he said, well, he that has no hath no sin, cast the first stone. Now, I don't think he did a smart aleck. Well, if you don't have any sin, go ahead. I don't think he did that. He technically, he came as the form of a servant. He didn't have the authority to have that person stoned. I mean, technically, execution, because of the Roman government, had to go through the Roman government. Now, they made a right stone her, but they weren't supposed to. And Jesus didn't overstep his bounds. It's almost like, Why are you talking to me? I don't have the authority to say this. But they knew his character, that he probably wouldn't want to stone her to death. But then he could say, well, he goes against the law of Moses. And so they were trying to just simply politics, find a skeleton in his closet, make him so nobody would want to hear what he had to say anymore. But how he dealt with both the lady and the Pharisees shows who he was. We talked about that last week. He actually wasn't disrespectful to the Pharisees. And he was actually caring, very caring and loving toward the lady. So what happened? He says, then, letter A, spake Jesus again to them. Right then he spoke. And we'll see what he said in a second. So Jesus was about to speak in connection with what had just transpired between him and the Pharisees involved with this woman caught in adultery. In fact, it says he spake again. In other words, in spite of the fact that he had spoken to them at other times and they had refused to listen and believe, he spoke again. Remember back in chapter 7, he stood up at the feast and said, listen, I'm the living water. Come to me. Get the water of life. And of course, they argued with that, and he has told them who he is, but they didn't want to hear it. But he spoke to them again. We're talking about grace and mercy. Who's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Well, I tell you what, we can get such short fuses, easily provoked, to the point where we will just simply mark somebody off. That's what the light reveals often in us. The light revealed something different in Jesus. Most of us give up on folks if they don't listen fairly readily and fairly quickly, but not Jesus. And you know, we talked about this last week, but we think, well, then he's a compromiser. No, he deals with justice, but he's full of mercy. Number two, kind of hang tight with me. Darkness cannot overcome light. If light is present, light will prevail. Follow me? Now, letter A. Darkness is the absence of light. If I want to make something dark, I don't add darkness. I take away the energy of light. If I want to make someplace cold, I don't add cold, even though we think that's the way it works. But if you really know how an air conditioner works, you're taking away the heat. So the fact is, light overcomes darkness because darkness is the absence of that energy. Light is life and energy. Now, dark, watch this. Darkness is not created, but darkness occurs as a symptom of the absence of light energy. You follow me? All right. So those that walk in darkness do so merely because they refuse the light. You see the how he's using that word there? The reason we walk in darkness is because we refuse to walk in the light. Let me say this. Darkness has no more strength than what we give it by choosing to walk in the dark away from the light. Underneath that, if we yield to the light, darkness has no power. If we yield to the light, darkness has no power. Now, he is the light of the world. He's going to show us the light's going to be turned on. Some are going to see the light. Some are not going to see the light. Now, the light reveals. Let me give that. Number three. Light reveals all. Light reveals all. That word light means to illuminate. To reveal. Letter A, light is a discloser. I'm not sure if that's a word or not, but I use it. It's a discloser. Light, number one, underneath that letter A, light allows things to be seen. Light allows things to be seen. Light makes manifest, if you will. It shows it right there. Now hang tight. We're going to get to this verse here. After I've kind of explained some things, I want you to understand this thought. This is why he's using this term the way he's using it. So light is the energy. Darkness is the lack of the energy. The energy shows up, and we use the word dispels the darkness. That sounds real nice, but darkness is really a nothing. It's the absence of the light energy. It's in the absence of the revelation of truth. Darkness is absence of that which is present, if you will. So light then discloses what's there. Letter B. Light reveals, watch this, by demonstration, the good. Light reveals by demonstration the good. Now hang tight with me. What the Pharisees just experienced between Jesus and themselves and Jesus and the woman caught in adultery, what the Pharisees just experienced with Jesus as he handled the situation with the woman and them revealed the character of God. Man's not like that. That's a character of God. And so the light revealed who he was. That action, if you will, turned on the light. It revealed what truth is. What did it reveal? Number one, God is merciful. When he turned on the light, we found out that God is merciful. You know what we also found out? When you turned on that light, we'll get to it. I shouldn't get ahead of myself, but You know what else we found out when we turned on the light? That Jesus is merciful? The Pharisees are not. The light revealed what is present. God's not willing that any should perish. As far as they were concerned, we could do without her. Now, it's interesting. Again, we go back to James. We talk, well, I've got this, you know, well, we would never do that, you know. But they were trying to kill Jesus. And Jesus talked about that. You say you follow the law, but you don't even follow one of the main Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not kill. And yet you're running around here trying to figure out a way to kill me, an innocent man. Oh, well, no, we wouldn't be doing that. And you get to James, it says, if you break the law at one point, you've broken the whole law. And the two sins it compares is murder and adultery. And I just think it's interesting that God does that. It puts it right there together. Well, I would never commit adultery. Murder. Bob Jones, senior for Bob Jones University, they asked him one time, they said, Dr. Bob, have you ever considered divorce? No. Murder a few times, but not divorce. And we laugh at that. But it's amazing how we will take our sins and weigh them out. Number two underneath that, God does not circumvent justice. God is merciful, but he does not circumvent justice. We're seeing who God is. The light showed up. It was demonstrated who he is by what happened at that little event right there with the woman found adultery. He didn't circumvent justice. He just says, if you want to execute justice, then let's see if you are fit to do so. Realize what it is that you're doing when you execute justice. I'll tell you what, I really believe if people would stop looking at everybody else's sins, we'd be a whole lot happier. And if we would judge ourselves and get rid of our own, we probably wouldn't have time to look at everybody else's sin. I had someone in my office not too long ago, and you know, it's interesting, it's good. And I did a whole series of messages some years ago, probably 10 years ago, on the topic, if I'm saved, why... If I'm saved, then why do I feel so sinful now? Because you're saved, you got the Holy Spirit, and you got the Word of God, and you're all of a sudden you're seeing your sin. You were a bigger sinner before. You just didn't see it. You had no light revealing the existence of your sin. But now you get saved, and all of a sudden the Word of God comes alive because he's going to guide you in all truth. He said, oh, my soul, I got that problem. Well, I got that problem too. Well, I got that problem too. Oh, my. How? He can't love you. Listen, he loved you before. He knew all about your sins before. You didn't know about it, but he already knew about it when you died. He commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died. Now, he's not sidestepping the sin. He satisfied justice on our behalf and paid for our sin. That's the mercy of God. God's willing to extend mercy to those that confess and forsake their sin. And he did. The woman stayed right there. Remember the story? No one walked away. When everybody else was walking away, she could have just kind of, because Jesus had bent down and he's writing, and she could have just kind of walked away. But she didn't. She stood right there till there was nobody else there but her. And she knew that he knew what she had been accused of. Where are thine accusers? There are none. He says, neither do I condemn thee, but go and sin no more. Let her see. Light, by contrast, reveals the bad. I said light reveals by demonstration the good. Jesus, we saw who he was. By the good that he did there, the light showed who he is, revealed. But the light, by contrast, reveals the bad. When man stands in the perfect light of the Lord Jesus, His shortcomings and his sins can be easily seen in contrast. You know, when you read the Bible, all of a sudden you see who Jesus was, but you're also going to see who these Pharisees were. And I'll be honest with you, I think a lot of folks have turned their backs on the church. Mainly, one of the main reasons, because there's so many folks in the church who've decided they're going to turn a light on everybody else's sin. Here's the problem. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. With what measures ye meet, ye shall be met out to you. What's it saying? I turn on the light to show your sin. And look, well, what's it do? It shines a light on me that I'm here, I am a Pharisee, pointing out everybody else's sin. Well, so don't you do that every day, every Sunday, preacher? I preach the Word of God and point all our sins out. And I'm just one sinner telling other sinners, stop sinning. One doubter telling other doubters, stop doubting. This is the Word of God. We're turning on the light to show us all who we are. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten in the middle of a message, and there's been times, and usually this is the one where someone says, this one was just for me. I get so far in the notes, and all of a sudden, it's like the Lord says, here's an illustration, Sterling, and this one's for you. And I'll start preaching and going on and on and on, and say, well, yeah, that's cool. That's good. Boy, you were looking in my window, preacher. No, I was looking in my window. Your turn of the light reveals what reality is. Letter D, light can be informative. Informative. Light will show us what's occurring. What is the reality? What is there? What's not there? What's good? What's bad? Letter E, light can be uncomfortable. You turn on the light and it can be pretty difficult. I've told you many times, there's this one place we go down to the Sword Conference. By the way, I would encourage you to go down to the Sword Conference in the end of July if you got some time to go down. That's just Monday through Thursday. Now they don't go on Fridays. It gives you a chance to get back. And they got some hotel thing you call the Sword. I encourage you. Great week. Just a good week. But there's one hotel we used to go to. I don't know what they had, what kind of light they had. But you turn that thing on, and every white hair on my head became a neon sign. I've never seen anything like just, you know. Every wrinkle becomes a quarter of an inch deep. I don't know what it was. I didn't like it. Light can be uncomfortable. So what happened? He said, okay, justice says you can stone her because that's the law. But let's just look at it this way. He that has no sin, you can cast the first stone. Go ahead. Well, what are the Pharisees? The Pharisees slid away from an uncomfortable situation that the light of the life of Jesus had revealed. You know, sometimes, and preachers, it's hard for us to cannot do this, sometimes it's better just to read the Bible and state the facts and let the light do the work. You know, I don't necessarily always have to preach for a decision, although it's hard for us not to. A lot of times that's why I've started praying the way I have in the last few months. Lord, give each of us what we individually need. I just want, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Not Sterling Walsh. Now, you know, I think there's times when the Lord says, okay, now just mention that and kind of direct our thought this way and let's go this way and let's kind of direct our thoughts this way. But right back, while I'm preaching, you'd be surprised how many people are taking this out of it and this out of it and this out of it because the Word of God is doing what it's supposed to do in the heart of us in individually. So the Pharisee, the light was turned on. So you come in, you turn on the light. But light could be uncomfortable, so what they did is just kind of slid away in the shadows. Now, in order to feel comfortable again, when the light's been turned on, they felt they needed to prove that the light is not working correctly or that it's not true light at all. That's the next thing they do. They didn't like the light. They didn't like what the light was saying. They felt what the light was saying. And they knew what the light was saying was true. But they didn't want to believe it. Let me say this, letter F. To shy away from light, we must walk further into the darkness. Now, this got to let that sink in a second. When he showed the light, and what they did, what did she do? She stayed right there in the light. Tell me what's going on. And Jesus says, neither do I condemn thee. You know what? The Pharisees didn't hear, neither do I condemn thee. The one who heard, neither do I condemn thee, was the one that stayed right there by the light, revealing exactly who she was. What did they do? They slipped off into the darkness. You move away from the light, you're going further into the dark. Number four, Jesus is light. Now, go back to the first verse we had here. Jesus is light. Verse 12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, in connection to this woman and the Pharisees and him and what had transpired, he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, put the picture there. There he stands, and probably some of his Bible study folks have been watching. The Pharisees has slithered off into the shadows. And there he stands with that poor woman who's been humiliated in front of the whole town. They've seen what the Pharisees were doing. They've seen how he has reacted. He didn't sidestep justice, but extended mercy. He says, neither do I condemn thee. And then he says, now I just turned the light on. Did you see what happened? That's what he's saying. I am the light of the world. What I am, what Jesus is, reveals who God is. I am the light of the world. Now watch this. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. But let's say it the other way. If I don't follow him, I will be walking in darkness. Now, the lady stayed in the light. The Pharisees left. They didn't like what he said, and so they avoided the light. He says, I am the light, the manifester, the revealer. I am the light of the world, the cosmos, the ordered, created existence. I am the light that shows into the world here. Now, he that followeth me, he that's on the same road with me, he that accompanies me shall not walk in darkness, shall not go through life in darkness, in the shady, indistinguishable areas, in obscurity, but shall have the light of life. In other words, they're going to be given true guidance and revelation from that which is truly alive. It's in him. You want to know what truth is? You've got to stay by the light. But we want to stand in the shadows and watch the light and see if we want to follow the light, or maybe we don't. But if you do that, you're standing in the dark, in obscurity, in the shadows, where you can't see, where you're going to stub your toe in the bedpost. And then you're going to curse God for letting it happen. You hear? You follow what I'm saying? Now, listen, you all came to the light tonight. Now, I'm not the light, but the Word of God is the light. And you came to the light. There's going to be a better chance to know what's going on if you come to the light. But there's going to be other folks who are not going to bother to come. They say, well, that church thing didn't work for me, and I'm not going to go into the Bible. It's just an old book written by a bunch of old men. I don't know if they're going to do that. So they go, what are you going to do? You're going to walk in darkness. Now, the fact is, you can walk a little ways before you get to the bedpost. But eventually you're going to hit a bedpost or a wall. I've hit the corner of the door. That's a rude awakening in the middle of the night. I really thought I knew where it was. I really thought I knew where it was. One night I got up. Have you ever noticed all these electronic things all have these little power lights? Here and there and this and that. There are so many lights. We got them on the smoke detector. We got them on the alarm. You got them on the phone. It's charging. You got them here. And you got them all this. And I thought I was walking right. I was walking. I thought I knew exactly where I was going. Right between these two lights. I knew it was. I woke up. I was disoriented. And Janet has one of those great big mirrors. It threw a couple extra lights around that room. Now all of a sudden I thought I knew where I was, but I wasn't, because I was walking in darkness. We think we can handle it. We think we got it all there. We know we understand exactly what's going on. The problem is we're walking in darkness. You know why we do that at nighttime? Middle of the night, turn the lights on full force. It hurts. It hurts. Light hurts when you've been walking in the darkness. But after a while, you've been walking in the light, it's okay. Now, I'm still looking in the mirror and seeing my neon sock, my neon hair, but it's okay. I'm not walking into the bedpost. Number one, we talked about light reveals all. Jesus reveals all. Every time we hear about Jesus, every time we read about him, every time we see what he did in the Word of God, he's revealing often the character of God and the character of man. Jesus reveals who and what God is, and Jesus reveals what the world is. He says, listen, I didn't come to bring unity, I came to bring division. Mother against mother against daughter, and father against son, and mother-in-law. He said, why? Now, he didn't do it on purpose, but he knows that's what's going to happen. Because some are going to walk in the light, and some are not going to walk in the light. Number two, underneath that, Jesus as the light reveals truth and reality in all things. Jesus reveals truth and reality of all things. So when Jesus walked on this earth, one of the reasons that some people just didn't like it was because he showed them exactly what they were. Because you got the power of the Holy Spirit as well on him, and now we have that if you're saved. The Holy Spirit speaks to the heart as we're speaking to the person, and the light is being turned on from both sides. Now, some people are going to love it. This is what I've been looking for. I'm done breaking my toes on bedposts. I'm glad I've got the light. And then you got some are saying, I can't stand to see my neon hair. Turn off the light. Because light reveals. And what you got to decide is, do you want to be in the light or do you want to be in the dark? Because Jesus reveals it all. He reveals the reality. And number three, Jesus said the light reveals righteousness and unrighteousness. Righteousness and unrighteousness. You get into the Word of God, there's no man who is justified by the law. See, they looked at it, they said, well, I'm going to be able to justify my righteousness by the law because I don't do this and do this and do this and do this. And he says, no man's been justified by the law. In fact, the law proves us that we're all sinners so that every mouth will be stopped. Stop praising our own name. Let her be. Follow the light. Jesus is the light. Now follow the light. So now follow the light is to walk further in the darkness. When God gives you light, follow that light. Well, I don't know all of it. No. Psalm 119, 105, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Sometimes it only gives you enough for the next step. But take the next step. We'll say, well, I'm not sure where the steps are leading. If it's the light of the Word of God, follow the light. In fact, it might scare you if you knew what was down the end of the path. But he says, I'll take care of that when we get there. We're supposed to walk in faith. If we do not follow the light, we will be walking in darkness. The light of life. The light is the understanding, the guidance needed truly to live life. It's the light of life. How are we going to live? Boy, I sure wish that God would, when he designed marriage, he gave us a handbook how that's supposed to work. He did. When he told us to be fruitful and multiply and start having kids, I sure wish he would send us a manual how to make these kids do what you're supposed to do and train them. He did. You know why we think we didn't? We walked away from the light. The light is shining. We don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it. So follow the light. Let her see. The life of Jesus is a light in the darkness. So his life itself was a light in the darkness. John 1:4 said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. They didn't know what to do with the light. His life was a perfect life. And so his life shined a light on what was right. But by default, it's not that there's no shine on what's right, it shines on everything else and what's wrong. It's light. It's a revealer of the reality. Number five, it is difficult to discredit what light reveals. It is difficult to discredit what light reveals. Let me move pretty fast. Verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true. In other words, if the Pharisees can prove that the light is bad, then they can discredit what the light is saying, what the light is revealing. You follow me? They don't like what Jesus is revealing. So what we got to do is discredit him so that everything he says we can help cancel out, discount it. And I don't have to worry about it. And I can try to salve my conscience. Well, look at letter B. Light simply uncovers reality. Light simply uncovers reality. Listen, Jesus didn't come there to make them feel bad. He said, listen, I didn't come to condemn the world, but the world's condemned already, but the world through me might have life. Well, you're so mean. Look at you. You showed me what my sins are. That was so you'll come to the light. Number one, need letter B. Light is neutral and cannot reveal anything more than that which is true. The better the light is, the better is the disclosure of what the reality is. The Word of God is the light. It reveals the facts. Light, what? Light does not condemn. It's neutral. It's nonpartisan. Light does not condemn. But number one, light shows the current status of the condemnation we're already in. Light reveals the current status. You made me feel bad. No, I just turned the light on. Yeah, but I don't like what I saw. You made me feel, but no. The light just showed what was reality. Now, if you don't feel good about it, well, then do something about it. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Which is our song. I didn't give it to you. The light of the world is Jesus. Verse 14, Jesus answered and said to them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Well, what's he saying? How can you turn more light on light? He said, you're telling me what I am, but I am the light. You're trying to bring truth to life, but I'm already as light as you can get. How do you judge God? The Pharisees were living in the dark, and so they were judging Jesus, watch this, only on what they could see, and I forgot to take this word out, in this partial light. They were going to judge Jesus on the partial light. He says, go back to verse 14, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and whither I go, but you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Who are you to judge me? You're walking in darkness. You don't know what. Take the splinter out of my eye, you got a beam in your own. You take the beam out of your eye, maybe then you can see and get the splinter out of mine. But he says, verse 15, you judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet, if I were to judge, says I don't, but if I were, my judgment would be true, is really what he's saying. Yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. He says, ye judge. He says, you're trying to distinguish, but you're trying to distinguish through the flesh. Not through the spirit, but through the flesh. You're drawing a conclusion on the little bit that you can see, and then you're condemning me while having only a small, incomplete set of evidence. He says, I judge the man. So you are condemning me, but I'm not even condemning you, though I do know all about you, he says. If you want to judge, I can judge. But that's not what I came here to do. I didn't come here to judge. I came to give you life. I'm just turning on the light so that you'll take the life I have to offer you. If you walk in the dark, you don't realize that you're dead in trespasses and sins. He says, you're looking at my physical appearance through your physical eyes in the perspective of a physical world. And then you're drawing your conclusions. Jesus is saying, I am more than mortal skin and bones. I am one with the Father. He is light. You can't turn any more light on Jesus than what he already is. Letter D, Jesus must be included as one of the witnesses, because how can a mortal witness against and no more than the divine? He said, I know where I came from, where I'm going. You have no idea. How can you judge me? I and my Father are one. I am the light. You can't shed more light on light. Verse 17, it says, it is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and my Father that sent me bears witness of me. Now the things that Jesus has done throughout his ministry has been a light to show what and who he is. That's one of the things he's saying. Number one, the miracles have revealed his power as part of the Godhead. His miracles have done that. He's the light. Number two, his grace and mercy has revealed his character as the character of the Holy One. So Jesus is light, and thus Jesus is the witness of himself. But not only that, the Word, number three, the Word of the Father has clearly testified who he is, and the general population has understood this to be true through the prophecy that was given. When he shows up in town for the triumphal entry, they call him Son of David, Hosanna, King. They could see who he was. The Word of God had turned on the light. And last one in there, it is the religious leadership which has refused to accept what the light has revealed and testified of Jesus. The religious leaders, number four, they have refused to accept the light. Here's the thing, number six. You cannot fight the light. You cannot fight the light. You could say, well, I don't believe it. Doesn't matter. It's still true. The light turned on. Well, I don't like what it says. I'm not going to accept it. You don't have to, but there it is. Truth is revealed. The Word of God has already told us what truth is. And see, and that's what happens. A lot of people, they come to the light because they think they're going to have the life is going to be enhanced or something. But then when the light is turned on, they don't like what the light says. And so they try to fight the light. They try to discredit the Word of God, discredit the preacher, discredit what was told. Just simply cast out what the Lord had revealed in some circumstances. Well, that didn't apply to me. Well, that's not me. Well, I had this issue and that issue. Well, my circumstances were different. And we try to fight the light. Look at verse 19. Then said they unto him, where is thy father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my father also. And these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his time was not yet come. Now, you cannot push away light. Watch. Now, I could go to a room that's smoky and do this, and this, you know, the little particles that's in the smoke kind of get, you know, swirled around. I can kind of move. But I, you know what? I can't do that with light. Light just is. You can't push away light. You can't fight the light. You can't strike light. Light reveals the reality of anything that's within the reach of the light. When light reveals, no sense in trying to fight it. Now finally, here, watch. If you want to stop the light from affecting you, you must run from the light and deny its existence. So, but what are you doing if you run from the light? You're running into the darkness. That's exactly what happened to the religious hierarchy of Israel. Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you under my wing as a hen gathered her chicks? But you would not. You would not. He came unto his own received him not. He turned on the light and didn't like what they saw. And all it does is take us further into the darkness. Now, watch this. You could try to stop the light by denying it or denying it even exists. But you know what? Even then, the light has already done its work. Otherwise, you wouldn't be fighting it. The light's already done its work if you have seen its effect enough to feel your need to run from it. Application real quick. Many folks do not like what the light reveals, even though the light only reveals reality. Since they cannot stop the light, they run from or refuse the light, denying its veracity. And even when they try to destroy the light by crucifying Jesus, it only served to reveal the light even further. They put him on the cross, and what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They tried to put out the light, and it just made the light shine brighter. Pilate said to Jesus, don't you know I have the power to have you executed? And Jesus says, You wouldn't have any power except the Father gave it to you. He turned on the light. Now watch. When light rests on you, what is it revealing? Probably a multitude of things. But the more we surrender, the more you actually may see some encouragement. Not to get proud, but you may see some encouragement. Well, that part's not quite as bad as it used to be. But that's a little better. Oh, that part's not good. What is your response to the light? What is your response to the light? John 3:16. Just listen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting light. He turned on the light. Right? For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't turn the light on to make you feel bad, but he did want you to come to the reality of your sin. His light doesn't condemn us, it just simply reveals that we're condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The light doesn't condemn, you're already condemned. It's to bring you to the light, to the truth. And this is the condemnation. This is where we feel condemned. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. When the light shines, what's your response to the light? And just as a word of warning, you can't fight the light. Lord, thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Thank you for these folks, and very important truth. Lord, help us to see the light for what it is, and realize that there's times you're revealing to us what we need to do. Sometimes we just don't do it. We're fighting the light. May we respond to you as we should. In Christ's name, amen.